This is Crucial Tech, a podcast about technology that affects all of us in a format that allows you to consume it in the time it takes to go to and from the grocery store. I'm your host, Lou Covey, and I probably know more about it than you do. And if I don't, I know someone who does. But first... Hi, folks. This is Lou Covey with Crucial Tech, and if you're enjoying these podcasts and the work we're doing at Cyber Protection Magazine, there is a button at the bottom of the page at cyberprotection-magazine.com where you can leave a donation. That'll help out tremendously, and that way we won't have to do advertising. And now to our program. Hi, folks. This is Lou Covey with Crucial Tech, and we're taking on a bit of popular news today in that we're going to look at TikTok. And my reason for wanting to get into this, and I'll be doing more reporting on this, there'll be other things coming along, because I've actually got an executive at TikTok who's saying, yeah, we might want to talk to you. So that'll be a pretty good scoop. But I don't feel we're getting the whole story here. I watched the congressional hearings and was really disappointed, both from the CEO of TikTok and from the Congress members who are asking really stupid questions. I've seen the reports in the news about why it's not a big deal and why it is a big deal, but nobody's actually come together and said, this is what it really is. So I've been reaching out to some people, and the first person I reached out to was Ian Thornton Trump, my buddy in the UK, who is, he's an iconoclast. He doesn't necessarily go with the flow of what's going on, but he's also tied in. He was the guy who was integral in developing the security policy for the nation of Canada when he was there. And he is a CISO at Cyjax, which is a cybersecurity consulting agency in the UK. And he knows a lot about this stuff. And I wanted to get the position of somebody who has worked in government on why TikTok is or is not a big deal. So Ian, thanks for joining today. What the hell is going on with TikTok?
Yeah, you know, it's a massive mess right now with all sorts of kind of crazy stories going on about it. So the allegation is, and we've all heard it, that it's basically a spying app for the Chinese government. Okay, that's the allegation. I'm gonna break some news on your show, Lou. Everything is a spying application. Okay. Now, this is where we're sort of crossing swords, and it's can be seen in a couple of different lenses. So the first one is any of these apps that get on your phone, be it, you know, Facebook, WhatsApp, any of these are harvesting data about you, about the conversations potentially that you're having, and certainly the metadata. And if you think for a moment that the FBI and the Secret Service aren't prepared to go to a U.S. judge and ask for an NSL, which is a national security letter, and deliver it unto Facebook or Meta or whatever they're calling themselves these days, and say, we need information about Lou, they're going to get it, okay? Unless the company is egregiously against it and is prepared to fight it, which is a really difficult thing to do when the badges show up and the NSL letter comes out. And NSL letters are super secret, Lou. You don't really know that there's one in place until the government has gotten what it wants. Now, this is the argument that has been put forth, and that, oh, okay, for American tech that's busy harvesting all of that personal data about what we do, it's okay because we have the American law, right, to protect us, mm-hmm. allegedly, maybe, okay, except under certain circumstances where potentially if you're a foreign national of another country, you're maybe not too entitled as robust defenses on the under the U.S. Constitution as you might otherwise have if you're an American citizen. But we do know from history, the NSA has been pretty liberal about spying on all the things. Mm-hmm. Okay, so fair enough. The issue here that is being parsed out is, I think, twofold. So the first is American tech is a big lobby group when it comes to the government. And the massive success that TikTok has had in invading our apps on our phone, I think American tech is a little bit, how do you say this, jealous of the massive success of a Chinese app that has gone completely viral. Okay. Mm-hmm. So there's I think, a little bit of jealousy, of competitiveness. And as soon as you start hearing the arguments about, like, you know, American tech is being outpriced or outmatched by Chinese, we've heard this all again. And then, you know, insert the specter of security to get everybody all riled up, right?
Right.
You know, okay. The other part of this, I think, has some legitimacy in that the data being harvested and pushed back to servers, it was demonstrated in a Forbes article that made it very clear that China has the capability of tracking individuals using the application and the content that they create.
Right.
Very similar to any other organization. The big difference being is that the relationship between large tech and the United States government and the relationship with big tech and the Chinese government, there, I think, is a lot more transparency and due process involved in the American relationship. And the concern is that if Western people of influence and government agents and government politicians have this application, it gives the Chinese some sort of unquantifiable advantage when it comes to identifying who those people are and what their roles are and how they might be subtly influenced by large bags of cash or whatever have you, right? Mm-hmm.
Right.
So I feel like there are some risk factors, there are some challenges when it comes to this, and the challenge that I think that we face with right now is trying not to sound like we're not embracing the success of a application that just happens to be built and manufactured in China. And I think there's more jealousy than there is truly a security threat. Now beat me up on it, because I'm just kind of freeballing this.
I'm kind of in the same place as you.
Okay.
But here's the downside side of that. Okay. China operates just as North Korea does and Russia does and some Eastern European countries, and even India kind of looks sideways at ransomware gangs and phishing gangs that they actually use. Yeah, I mean, we know that North Korea finances their nuclear weapons program by selling malware packages.
Yeah, and crypto heists and, you know, all sorts of illicit activity.
So as you point out, every social media group or platform is collecting massive amounts of data on us. And not just social media. I mean, I originally helped edit a book called Data for All.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you read that book yet?
I have read that book. Yeah.
Yeah. The one part that absolutely fascinated me is John Thompson described a trip that he and his wife took to Ann Arbor to visit his daughter and go to a football game, and put together a bulleted list of every point where data was collected about them on that trip. And it went for 4 pages in single space bullets. You know? And that was just to get from home to a gas station where they filled up. And he says, there's even more after that because he got the hotel rooms and everything else like that. So yeah, there's a massive amount of data being collected. Okay. And that's the kind of data that phishing gangs and ransomware gangs want to collect to find their targets and to social engineer them. Mm-hmm. Now, because that is essentially validated as an okay operation, maybe not a legal operation, but an okay operation by the Chinese government, the North Koreans and all that, doesn't this make TikTok a bigger source of information for them?
Oh, I think it definitely does. And balls were missed here because you know, it was upon us before we had a chance to really understand it, number one.
Yeah.
And number two, a subtle conversation between high-level diplomats in the United States and China, and in fact, maybe even a more of a unified front, all of a sudden the ball game is, hey, China, stop pushing us on these issues because, you know, you're completely reliant on Western capital in order to keep your economy and manufacturing going up.
Yeah.
And we do have leverage over China. We don't have much over North Korea in terms of economic leverage, other than, you know, we can essentially continue sanctioning them until, you know, hell freezes over. I don't think there's ever been a time where anyone has talked about less sanctions for North Korea, right? China's interesting in that they continue to sort of push at the buttons, if you will, of Western technology, Western research and development, Western pharmaceutical companies. They certainly have, I think, envy of the massive spend that Western tech puts into things like, you know, AI, like, you know, are the development of some of the largest companies in the world, such as, you know, Google, Facebook, and of course, Microsoft as well. And so it's not surprising that we find ourselves every few years being astonished at China's ability to create something that looks exactly like a Cisco router magically, you know, only to find out that after the long investigation, they found some person that walked out of, you know, Cisco's labs with all of the intellectual property on a USB stick.
Yeah.
And what's interesting to see in sort of that relationship is there's no question China is doing economic espionage against the United States. I think that argument has been settled a long time ago. But the fact is that they'll resort to any means necessary in order to gain an advantage over West. And we see this now playing out in the geopolitical sphere of China building Blue Water Navy capability and continuing to threaten Taiwan. And of course, the West has to respond. But we're still very comfortable in sending an awful lot of business to China in terms of manufacturing and then buying a lot of Chinese manufactured goods as part of the Western economic dependence. Not surprising then to see China saying, hey, this tech thing that you've got going on, really interesting. And as my friend and colleague, Philip Ingram, mentioned, this comes in a long line of potentially Chinese viral applications like Pokemon Go, for instance, that became a phenomenon and, you know, could be, and in some cases demonstrably, was used for espionage to take pictures of sensitive areas as you, quote, captured your Pokemon, which happened to be at super secret, you know, bases.
So, okay, well, yeah, maybe that's why those Chinese students got arrested outside of Andrews Air Force Base.
Yeah, they were Pokemon in that base, especially by those new stealth aircraft.
Yeah, so let's talk about solutions to this. I mean,
yeah,
logical solutions. The first one that's come up, you know, other than outright ban, which I guess India has already banned TikTok.
So
maybe we should.
And the UK government has basically advised the government that it shall be removed, even though in the UK we have government by WhatsApp. you know, so again, it's that slippery slope argument, but you know what the bottom line here is,
let me ask you, I want to about specifically about one of the solutions that were presented at the congressional hearings from the CEO, Project Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're gonna have the data on American soil in an American company run by American engineers. Is that going to work?
I think it's going to work better than what we have now, okay? And especially because
here's the thing, because you're going to have a lot of Americans working in this data center, but there are also going to be Chinese nationals working in there, and by the Chinese national law, they are required to pass along information overtly or covertly whenever the government asks them to.
That's right. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's kind of like saying, okay, we're not going to have it spread out all over the country or controlled offshore. We're going to put it all in one place. So spies, everybody come here because it's all here.
Yeah. And this is this goes back to our major problem that we have with the internet, which is now devolving into islands of data sovereignty. If you look at the Germans in terms of how robust their interpretation has been of the transfer of German citizen data outside outside Germany, to the point where, you know, many American tech companies are very frustrated. When the Germans basically find out and discover that the Microsoft Authenticator pings a GPS in order to locate where you are, in order to authenticate whether or not you're allowed to make a connection, they're going to go bananas. So you know what? This is a major problem that we have in terms of, like, how do we govern what is essentially the ungovernable? How do we even apply our rules, either, you know, in the case of the Chinese Espionage Act, does it have relevance and standing in the United States? There's a whole legislative piece that needs oversight and due diligence, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what we're seeing right now is amazing success, amazing commercial success, but really a lack of understanding about, once we collect it, how do we control it? And mm-hmm. and this is an area where I think we're really struggling with. You know, when you see the underpinnings, you know, we're going to start arguing about the fact that you can only use German DNS servers to find anything in Germany because it's sensitive data that if Lou was in Germany and Lou was a German citizen and he's looking at things, we don't want that, you know, information going outside Germany. It's like peeling this onion that every layer leads to the next layer. And, you know, there is no governance on, you know, BGP routing worldwide. So, you know, I'm sympathetic, but this is, again, where we've created something amazing, you know, a little bit like ChatGPT. We've created something amazing, but we have no clue about how we're going to regulate it or even control it. And the genie's coming out of the box.
And we've got a lot of companies that have been used to this complete hands-off experience.
Yeah.
And are now fighting tooth and nail to keep it that way.
We found, you know, with the collapse of the metaverse or that project.
Has that collapsed already?
I think it has. For a lot of really interesting reasons. The collapse of the metaverse, basically swallowed close to $1 trillion in venture capital money. So now collaboration video apps that go viral, very hot right now, as is chat AI, very hot right now. The venture capital world finds great ideas, gives them gobs of money to execute, but washes their hands of when it comes to any sort of ethical or regulatory framework. And then these big tech companies that have massive success go, well, you should regulate us because even we are admitting we're completely out of control, Lee. We're doing things that maybe, you know, we shouldn't do, but we have all this money and we've got to spend it on something. And you know, it's really fabulous in order to see these sort of story arcs of a great idea gets a huge amount of hype and investment, and we find that somehow at the end of us, the consumers are getting consumed by the thing that the venture capital people have made their investment in. And we see this kind of over and over again with the different hype models that has happened. And it was a bit disturbing to hear about, you know, Microsoft firing all of their AI and ethics team. That doesn't bode well. I mean, they're launching a new thing. I think it's called DALL-E or something. like that, as you know, I'm just counting down until it goes full racist, like the last time they tried an AI driven thing called, I believe it was Trey, if you followed that story. Yeah.
It's, you know, it's not just Microsoft either. I know a lot, you know, I live in the Bay Area, so I know a lot of people in Google, and one of the things that Google Google completely laid off was the people who were in charge of making sure that they were in compliance with the EU privacy laws.
Yeah.
They let the whole team go. Like that. We give up.
Yeah. Oh man. Really wish we could be responding to your request, but we just don't have anyone that knows anything about the EU. Yeah, it'll be interesting, but there is hope through all of this, right? You know, it's sort of like the metaphor being that when the rainforest burns down, if no one turns it into a coffee plantation, new growth happens and new things flow out of it. And, you know, there is issues around TikTok in the terms of, you know, that they weren't compliant with any of the regulations of terms of parental consent, you know, and things like that. So kids started using it. There is no, I think, practical way that they can even monitor the content. And then, of course, you had all of the viral challenges that came out. My favorite being the bleach challenge, where you're supposed to drink half a jug of bleach. No, I made that one up. But so please don't have that go viral.
We have a very some friends of our family whose 12-year-old son was participating in the blackout challenge.
Yeah.
And drowned in the bathtub.
It's tragic. And the fact that
and that's really the kind of thing that pisses me off, because I know, I mean, I'm going to be doing another interview with a TikTok user who stated to me, this is what made me want to interview him. TikTok's algorithm is scary good.
Yeah.
Facebook is crap. I mean, Facebook's algorithm says I'm a 50-year-old gay Chinese national.
Yeah.
And that's how bad their algorithm is. Twitter has completely fallen apart. LinkedIn isn't too bad, but they keep themselves pretty focused. Okay.
Yeah.
But TikTok really knows what to send you to get you to do something that you would not normally do.
And this is the thing, Lou, I feel your outrage at tech and tech that gets to propagate this. But my outrage is the American justice system. Yeah. Through lawsuits, especially wrongful death lawsuits, why there isn't more activity and holding these tech companies to account when horrendous things happen, such as a suicide, occur. And this is the responsibility of those platforms in this. And
they can do something about it.
They absolutely could, yes, if they made the investments.
Just cut into their profits.
100%. And, you know, that's where we're left with, Lou, I think, is that when we realize and when regulatory action and legal action, especially wrongful death suits, start happening, as was the case in the AI chat that convinced a person, obviously this person was having mental health issues, to sacrifice themselves for global climate change. Again, these tech products that we make need to have some sort of governance and responsibility wrapped around them. And not there.
So in the end, to answer the question about what we can do about this, outright bans probably won't work.
Agreed.
Possibly banning certain, I mean, there's no reason in God's green earth that a congressman should be using TikTok, or even an administrator in the Department of Transportation. We can ban it for use within the government. You can keep people from bringing devices in that are using it, but you can't necessarily ban it from the use of private citizens. But
I don't think you can
pass laws that will make it very expensive for companies to not take responsibility for their products.
I agree.
To put profit over safety.
Yeah.
And that is what we need. That and the bottom line is what we need to do.
I couldn't agree with you more, Lou.
Okay. And we're going to have to catch up again another time about ChatGPT.
Yeah, that's the next one.
Yeah. We are going to be publishing an editorial policy on it, and it's going to be pretty tough.
Good to hear.
To the point where we're going to say, look, if you send us something and we find out it's using a generative AI, then you're going to be banned from our publication for forever.
Good.
But people need to start taking responsibility for this stuff. And anyway, I appreciate you taking this time.
Great to chat with you. Always enjoy these. Have a great RSA. Be safe. Be careful. Yeah. Don't take too many meetings with Chinese nationals.
I've only got three right now.
Okay. Take it easy, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ian Thornton Trump, folks, a wealth of information and a lot of fun to talk to. Really appreciate his time on this. And we will be looking more into this at Cyber Protection Magazine. May even have a couple more podcasts coming on this because it's an important issue. We need to get some reality in the discussion we have of this technology. It isn't necessarily as bad as people say it is, but it's not as good as they say it is too. So let's find some balance. If you have any questions or concerns, you can go to the cyberprotectionmagazine.com website. That's cyberprotection, one word, -magazine.com. And you can send me a comment there or a question, and we'll get back to you on that. We may even use it for content for another podcast. We also look forward to your support for the magazine and the podcast. There is a button on the magazine where you can make a donation. We're doing this so we can avoid having to deal with the issue of advertising, which nobody likes. And so hopefully you take us up on that and keep this organization going. This has been Crucial Tech, a Foot Washing Media production. Thanks for listening.